So there's been a lot of changes this week. It's kind of a big letdown after the big event last week. If you go into the stores, all the Easter lilies and all of the chocolate eggs are on discount now. So if you like chocolate, go now. There's no more fancy hats in church, probably no new clothes on you today. The big event is over. The ordinary has set in, and yet Christ is risen. Oh, very good. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Easter begins this season of knowing and remembering that indeed Christ is risen. Oh, good one. And then Thomas comes back on the scene. Every year, this first Sunday, we hear this story. And I think it's a couple of truths and a lie out there about Thomas. So here's my three statements, and let's see which one you think is that lie. Thomas was a faithful disciple. Thomas was a doubter. Thomas proclaimed and confessed Jesus as Lord twice in John's gospel. Any guesses on that lie? Huh. Well, let's see. In John chapter 11, we first meet Thomas when Lazarus is sick. And so the disciples are with Jesus, and people come and say, Lazarus is sick, so please come and see him. And so they go, and Jesus starts talking in these riddles. And he says, sickness will not end in death. No. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So Thomas proclaims, we will go with you to see Lazarus, and we will also go with you to your death, even though he didn't quite understand what that meant. And then in John chapter 14, Thomas again doesn't understand Jesus' metaphorical speech about the place that Jesus is going to go to prepare for them. Thomas calls him out on this and says, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then we have Thomas here today, continually asking questions, making statements. He's trying to understand what's happening with Jesus. And I'm wondering more if he is a realist or a pragmatist, as some people called him this week. Because here's the thing. Reality came like never before on that Friday. Thomas watched as they nailed his Lord, his teacher, his friend on two slabs of wood. And then Jesus died, and with him, all the hopes and dreams of the past 3 years. So when the disciples say they have seen Jesus, Thomas doesn't believe it. So I suppose that's where we see this demand to see Jesus and see those nail holes. So I wonder if maybe this request is less about a request for proof than it is maybe mocking those disciples. He makes this demand because he knows it would never happen. This request is absurd, even ridiculous, whatever his friends are claiming. So this is where I think that lie comes in. I think Thomas gets this bad rap of being a doubter. I don't think he was ever really a doubter. I mean, he proclaimed, he confessed, he professed Jesus as Lord. So when Thomas is confronted by the Lord, what changes is his perspective of reality itself, of what is possible, of what God can do, even what God can do through Thomas. Jesus comes and takes those maybe mocking words and turns them back on him, not to humiliate him or scold him, but to confront him with the possibility that his reality is too small, that his vision of what is possible is too limited. Jesus calls him to faith, invites him to enter into this new world, this new world of possibilities. how do we participate in this new reality? So Christ is risen. So now what? What's new about this for us? This new vision, not defined by failure, but by possibility. Not governed by scarcity, but by abundance. Not ruled by remembering offenses, but set free by forgiveness and reconciliation. It's about relationships. For John's gospel, believing is about being in relationship with Jesus, being in relationship with the one whom you have come to be with. Remain. Abide. Believe. These things in this book are written so that we can come to believe, continue to believe, sustain our beliefs of all these new possibilities that Jesus has given us. But what does that mean for us now, thousands of years later, when we say Christ is risen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does that mean for us? That this faith, that this proclamation that we say is real and full of possibilities. What you're seeing on the screen is a few of the post-it notes that we used our last Wednesday of our Lenten series when we were asking all of those questions about our faith. And this question was, why does faith matter? And so people wrote on post-it notes and we put it on this board, and there are a few of them up on the screen, and a few of them I want to share with you. Some people said, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Having faith and trusting in God in all things makes everything possible. Even in times of trouble, trusting in God gives me a peace. Oh, how I love God. Faith is strength. Faith is encouragement. Faith is comfort and peace. One person said, we are imperfect people full of faults and weaknesses. Faith helps us to give us hope and strength in the bad times. In my suffering, I look at my faith as a lifeline. I wouldn't be able to go through this without knowing someone who has cared is with me. One person said, people let you down, friends let you down, even family lets you down, but faith will never let you down. You can always trust it to be there. These are your words. People in this community of faith. Faith makes it possible to get up in the morning and start the day. Faith gives me the strength to deal with life every day. One person said, like it or not, we're going to believe in something. I want mine to be focused on goodness, mercy, a positive sense of life, and a higher power than me. One person said, faith gives us more questions to ask and more answers in life. Believing, being in relationship, having faith, knowing that Christ is risen. Ah, there we go. Because yes, life is hard. Life is real. Sometimes life is really hard. And often our vision will shrink under those pressures and duress of personal hardship and tragedy. And yet, we continue. Yet, we believe. And yet, we have faith. So what do we do while we are in the midst of these struggles or in the midst of that joy? How do we remain and abide and believe in Jesus and these new possibilities beyond what we can see? What does that look like for each of us as we journey and partner with one another, proclaiming and confessing that Christ is risen? What does that look like? To be in relationship. How are we challenged by that relationship in our each and everyday lives, all the places that we go and the people that we see? How can we be inspired from those that are sitting next to us here and from those that we meet in our community? How can we share that faith is our life? That what these stories tell us bring us new hope. How do we live into this Easter resurrection? These are a lot of questions, huh? I don't know. I don't have the answers. I stand here with you, wondering the same, trusting and knowing that you around me and the people that I interact with every day will teach me new ways of joy, new ways of getting through the hard times, hard struggles, will teach me that these words are real, that yes, Christ is risen. That brings us everything that we need. And thanks be to God.